She arrived at the livestock pens to find chaos. Marcos and the giant Elias, whom she recognized from his tree-felling detail with the companions, were chasing a goat that had escaped its pen and was running riot among the pigs. The livestock farmers, meanwhile, were concerned with preventing the spooked pigs from breaking the walls of their pens and trampling the crates that lay empty and looked all too fragile at the side of the goat enclosure.
Damn this creature! Why does it not respond to our directions?
Marcos and Elias tried to form a pincer movement that would direct the creature back toward its own pen. With a bleat of fear mixed with triumph, it slipped under his outstretched arms and ran free once more.
The beast is a free spirit, not one of your lackeys that you can order about.
Then if it is so much like you, think like the goat and give me a suggestion.
Things not going so well?
I'm glad that you find it entertaining that we struggled to prepare for our travels.
Lighten up.
I will never become a Whitelander, Elias.
My goodness, Marcos. Was that humor? Man versus beast, and beast is winning. There's a lesson in there somewhere, I'm sure.
An enraged pig took a chomp out of the goat's behind, and the bleeding animal came hurtling out of the pen. The terrified creature, skirting around Marcos and Elias, who were too startled and surprised to react in time, headed for the open woods beyond the pens, heading straight toward Mildred. In the fraction of a second she had, Mildred dropped to her haunches and looked the goat in its wild, glassy eyes.
Come on, honey!
She saw it begin to swerve to her left to get around her. As it passed, she threw herself and grabbed it around the neck. She felt the hardness of its tendons and flesh beneath the greasy coat. It resisted her attempt to dig in for a firm hold, and she found her fingers slipping through the grease of the goat's hair.
Oh, no, you bastard! You're not gonna make me look like an idiot!
She clung on for dear life, wrapping herself around the beast, slowing its momentum and dragging it down. She felt it wriggle and whip like a snake beneath her, bleeding soulfully with a mixture of fear and anger.
Don't worry! Don't worry! It's okay! Good girl.
Around her, the livestock farmers were penning those pigs that had escaped and calming the others. Mildred could feel the goat's thumping heart against her own chest, beginning to slow.
I think you may release your embrace. Marcos won't want you to smell of goat. Or maybe he would.
Mildred released her grip.
I certainly could do with a bath.
She rose, dusting herself off, but found she was covered in an almost adhesive layer of goat grease and farmyard mud.
Why are you here, Mildred?
Sunita sent me to check how things were going. She's with her father again.
I fear it cannot be long now.
Afraid he's going to die without naming you?
You would dare speak of the leader so flippantly, Elias?
It doesn't matter how he speaks of him. It doesn't change what's happening or why I'm here. So how are things going?
Marcos told her briefly that the penning of the livestock had been going very well until she had arrived, and that they were on target to be ready for the appointed date. He then pointed out that he should be elsewhere and excused himself.
Seems like he can't wait to get away.
Elias, you want to stop prying into things that aren't your concern and show me what I came here for?
Why, of course, sister.
Elias began to lead her around the pens and the area covered by the livestock farm. His tone was serious as he gave her a full report of the livestock farming activities.
Now, if you will excuse me, Mildred, I have too many tasks at hand to continue as your escort.
That's fine, Elias.
Then, by your leave.
Mildred stood watching him go for a moment, then turned and walked back toward the ville. She had to walk through the housing on the edge of the ville. At this time of day, it was now mid-morning, this part was deserted. The populace occupied with tasks at the beach, the farms, or out hunting. It was quiet, and Mildred walked freely, pondering what role Elias played in the drama of Pilatu. She was aware that he was Marcos's rival for Sunita's hand, and why Barris had made him such. She also knew that the leader's daughter didn't trust him. She wondered to what lengths would he go to gain power, now that the Pilatans were to move to the Whitelands, particularly in view of his rival Marcos's opinions.
What the?
Chippings from the adobe wall to her left hit her ear, and she saw the cloud of dust thrown up by the impact.
Shit!
Mildred threw herself forward into a roll, eyes darting back and forth for a place to take shelter.
Where the hell is it coming from?
Another shot pockmarked the earth in front of her, throwing up another cloud of dust. She jerked away and narrowly avoided receiving a splinter through her eye when the next shot took a chunk out of the doorframe where she was taking shelter.
For my next impression, Jesse Owens.
As she scuttled across the street, keeping low and moving quickly, trying to present as small and awkward a target as possible, she figured that her assailant had to be firing from somewhere over to the right. And he had to be fairly high up. Taking a second to glance up as she moved, she could see no one on the rooftops. But could she afford to scan enough to take in the distance? After all, he had to be pretty far away. No time. Another shot hit the dirt in front of her, kicking up a cloud.
Damn it!
There were no open doors, and if the ones she tried were locked, she would present an easy target in the time it would take her to find this out.
Where the hell should I go?
Maybe she could double back and try to make the last alley she had passed. If she took the one on the right, it would make for an almost impossible angle, and her assailant would have to reveal himself to get a better shot at her. She turned back, spinning on her heel. It was a clumsy maneuver when she was still trying to keep low and small, but the sudden change of direction should, she hoped, throw off her attacker's aim. A hope that was confirmed when the next shot hit the wall of a house farther ahead in the direction she had turned from. It could buy her the few moments she would need to make the alley. But the assassin had to have had reflexes that were better than his aim as the next shot hit the wall beside her.
Shit!
She could see the alley up ahead to her left. It was only a few yards away. Mildred felt a stinging blow across her forehead, and then she was aware of nothing else except the ground coming up to meet her. It was one hell of a headache. She didn't think she had been out for long, but it had been long enough. Certainly long enough for two sets of footsteps to approach her from the same direction. Part of her wanted to cry out to them for help, but a small voice inside her told her to play possum until she was sure they were friend, not foe. It was the right call.
Is she dead?
She's not moving and not talking, and that's something for which we should be thankful.
This is not the time for humor.
Mildred desperately wanted to open an eye to see who it was, but knew this would be a bad idea.
Who said I was being funny? She talks too much, and she's a pain in the ass. She stuck her nose in too much of our business. The only good thing I can see about her, as far as I'm concerned, is that she's taken your brother's mind off pursuing Sunita.
Do not bandy words or push whatever luck you may have left.
Mildred found it hard not to show any amazement as she lay there. Elias, the proponent of integration, and Chan, the prophet of separatism, made for strange bedfellows. What could have brought them together, and why was their venom directed toward her? More to the point, what the hell was she going to do lying here playing possum with two enemies upon her, at least one of whom was armed? They were within feet of her now, and would soon see that she was still alive. Not for long when that happened, but as long as they kept arguing, it gave her some time to think.
I wouldn't get too pompous if I were you. I believe it was my shot that actually claimed the bitch. That gives me the moral advantage, I believe.
Moral? Clearly you have no idea of what the term even means. Do not talk to me of such matters. This is pragmatism, pure and simple.
Of course, whatever you say. And your motives are pure at heart, are they?
My motives are not your concern.
Whatever you say. I would suggest, however, that rather than discuss philosophy with this creature sprawled in front of us, we would be better employed disposing of her.
We haven't even checked whether or not she is breathing.
Then all the more reason to do so. If she's still alive, we carry her off and finish the job where we're going to dispose of her body, rather than further risk attention here. I don't have any particular desire to be caught by any of your brother's lackeys with her in hand. Even you would find that hard to explain. Besides, I have plans for her.
There was something in the tone of Elias's voice that made Mildred barely able to suppress a shiver. At least they didn't plan to chill her then and there when they discovered that she was still alive. It would buy her a little more time. She felt a foot prod at her, tentatively. She stayed limp and allowed the sharp toe of the booted foot to jab her several more times in the ribs, without wincing.
Still breathing, I can see that, but not responding. She's either unconscious or pretending to be. You keep that blaster trained on her and blow her fucking head off if she so much as makes a move.
She stayed still and silent, allowing the giant to turn her over easily. She could tell he was as strong as he looked. She felt blood from the crease along her forehead run back into her plaits, and was thankful it didn't run down to her eyes. That would make the next part of her act easier.
No surprise that she is unconscious, not with a graze such as that.
Pity it didn't finish the job. Now, my sweet little child, let's just see how far from conscious you really are.